Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
Welcome to Claim Your Excellent Life. I am here with John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And you know, since the day in 1993 when he wrote that book, John has learned so many very, very, very important things about what is going on in this world and how we need to have the right nutrition mineral supplements. And I'd like him to first start out with just going over, just like for about 3 minutes, what we were coming into in terms of why we need the correct mineral and nutritional supplements. And I also want you to talk about your Parkinson's in terms of the fact that you were diagnosed with it, you were given a treatment plan you didn't want to do, and I would like you to explain to our audience why you said no to that treatment plan and how you went about finding the way for your own self-healing. Because, you know, you're a person who a lot of people look up to. You've sold many, many books, over 6 years on the bestseller list, 50 different languages. I mean, you are a man that people will listen to. So please go ahead and talk to our audience.
Well, thank you so much. And what happened is, in my 20s, I was a yogi, and then and a celibate monk. And then in my 30s, I became a relationship expert. In my 40s, I was a best-selling author, traveling the world and writing 15 books, very, very focused. And what happens is, when you super focus your brain, is there's free radical damage. This is now shown that high levels of dopamine, which is the brain chemical of focus, will produce free radical damage. And if you don't have the right protection against free radical damage, you have the downregulation of dopamine receptor sites, and that is Parkinson's disease. So at 49 years old, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. It's only 10 years later I discovered, you know, how I created the Parkinson's disease. You know, I used to teach all day long, counsel all day long, and then work through the night. You know, I'd work 18, 19 hours a day writing books. You know, I wrote 15, 16 books in 10 years, plus traveling around the world, plus counseling. It was like super machine, which I developed the ability to focus through my years of meditation. I balanced that with my heart through my marriage with my wife and family and children. But in serving the world, I literally blew out my brain, so to speak. If you overstimulate your brain with dopamine, you get downregulation of receptor sites. And then that gives rise to Parkinson's. Dopamine gives you focus. And so if I was to think of something, my body would start to shake because dopamine also controls your body. And that's one of the first symptoms is your head starts shaking when you're talking and your hands shake. You can't hold your hand steady. And this is what's happening to me. And now I went to the doctor and they said, well, this is the protocol. And you take these medicines, and over time, you'll have to take more of the medicine and then more of the medicine because the condition will get worse and worse until you die of suffocation. And I went, that doesn't sound good. I'd like to have something that would heal rather than make the condition worse while it's pretending like everything's better. It's really a metaphor for people's lives today. We have all of these addictions that make us feel like our lives are good while our lives are getting worse and worse and worse. And we're simply losing our way. We're off track of what our soul's purpose is. You know, our purpose is to love and to serve and to be fulfilled. And we all have our destinies. As we go off of the destiny, what happens is these addictions form. And for me, I was pretty much aligned with my destiny, but I was overdoing it. And that causes the downregulation of receptor sites. And really all I needed was the right nutrition to help my brain when I was producing so much dopamine. That's when I began researching. So I went the whole process of how the brain works. I'm a good researcher. I researched it, and I realized why their products didn't work, why the medicines didn't work. I found alternative solution, which was providing the nutrients that would make dopamine and the minerals that would rebuild my receptor sites. And I found research that backed it up later on, but I was just testing and experimenting. You have to realize I became this multimillionaire. I could try every single supplement on the market. I had plenty of time to research everything, and I can stay up for hours and hours doing it. So it was not a problem for me, and I found the solution, and I cured my Parkinson's. No Parkinson's, now 12 years. But what was amazing is when I cured the Parkinson's with just extra nutrition, supplementation, and I'll explain some of those details, what I discovered was that my whole way of relating to my wife changed. She said, oh my gosh, you're like the guy I married 30 years ago or met 30 years ago. Because, you see, in the beginning of a relationship, the newness stimulates lots of dopamine. And then that goes away and relationships go into kind of a comfort zone. But she said, you're like that guy back in the beginning. And I stayed that guy because what I discovered is when I healed the condition that makes Parkinson's, I also healed the same condition that creates ADHD. And what I didn't know is my whole life I had been a form of ADHD. So, you know, my new book on focus addresses the natural solutions for healing the brain, including healing ADHD. It just wasn't diagnosed. One of the symptoms of ADHD, and you have to remember it shows up very differently. Well, most people don't know that. They think it's just hyperactivity and distraction and impulsiveness. That's one of 10 symptoms of ADHD. But for me, the symptom of ADHD was hyperfocus. Right. So I was hyper-focused on my wife in the beginning, which made me an incredible husband. And then I became hyper-focused on my work, which was...
That didn't work!
Then you start to become neglected. The wife starts to feel neglected. Now, you know, my work with Men Are From Mars helped me solve that. But again, it was work. I had to work on the relationship. Now it's effortless because I don't just focus on work. I can shift my focus from work to my grandchildren, to my children, to my wife, to recreation. I can make that shift of focus, which is another aspect that one of the problems of ADHD is that for some people they become so focused on one thing they can't shift to other things. Typically for men, as they become adults with ADHD, they tend to focus on their wives and focus on their work. And they ignore their wives after a while. Not purposefully. They still love their wives. They just don't get the same juice from their wives. Women, on the other hand, tend to have a focus problem with becoming overly focused on pleasing other people and not on themselves. So when they finally come back to themselves, there's a lot of resentment and demandingness, which prevents them from getting the support they want. And most people don't realize that 90%, if not all, relationship problems that I've dealt with over 30 years are symptoms of ADD and ADHD. Depression sensitivity is one of the forms of ADHD.
John, can you talk a little bit about the work that you found from your Mars, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus in terms of the testosterone and the oxytocin? Because, again, I don't think a lot of people really understand those aspects to relationships and why men need to go into what you call the cave and why women do the things to please people around them and what they get from that benefit.
Excellent. So now we'll move into normal human behavior. Once you have ADHD, it's exaggerated. That's all ADHD does. It makes hyper. Whatever you are naturally, it makes it hyper, which throws you out of balance. So when we look at men and women relationships, one of the most important insights is to realize how women cope with stress and how men cope with stress most effectively in a healthy state. For men, it has all to do with testosterone. A man needs 30 times more testosterone than a woman to be healthy and to be stress-free. Testosterone is a key factor for him. When he's solving problems, he's actually releasing testosterone into his bloodstream, called free testosterone, being used up, and that lowers his stress. At the end of the day, he can't be solving problems, or if he keeps solving problems, he will eventually run out of testosterone and his stress level will go up. But when he comes home, what he does is he forgets the problems of his day. So men have a shutoff switch in their brain that most women can't even imagine having. He can actually just say, forget it. His brain shuts off and he now relaxes, and in relaxation, it rebuilds his testosterone. And that's the idea of men going to their cave. They sort of need some time to decompress. One of my daughters who does a blog at MarsVenus.com, she calls it me time, and the other is we time. And men typically need me time to de-stress, then they're ready for we time. Women, on the other hand, need we time, and then they can lower their stress with we time, and then they can enjoy me time. So most women can't just stop and think about themselves. They're so busy thinking about other people. Because the hormone that lowers stress for women is not the problem-solving hormone, testosterone. It's the nurturing hormone called oxytocin. So when women are giving to others, it's releasing the oxytocin, which lowers her stress level and makes her feel good. But it can only work if she has plenty of oxytocin. And how do you rebuild oxytocin is by we time, which is feeling that you're giving and you're getting. You're giving and you're getting. There's a sharing. There's an equality in life. And you feel that you're not alone. You feel you have a sense of support in your life. And you're receiving. So for women, receiving rebuilds their oxytocin, and giving releases it, uses it up, but also lowers her stress. So when women don't have enough oxytocin, the brain says, well, let's just give some more and lower our stress level. But if you don't have any oxytocin to get to release, then giving doesn't lower your stress. So when you're stressed, your brain keeps saying, well, I'll just give more, and I'll give more, and I'll give more, because she's not taking enough to receive. For men, it's not a cycle of giving and receiving. For men, it's a cycle of fixing and resting. Fixing, solving the problem, getting your reward. And for men, the reward is, now I can have me time. I can do what I want to do. I can do what I feel like doing.
Because you said that for men, right? What do they need to be able to have from their woman to know that they're loved?
Well, this interesting dynamic, and I write a lot about this in my book, Why Mars and Venus Collide, is that men want to feel successful. So if a woman is fulfilled and happy, a man is happier. But for a woman, if the man is happier, it doesn't make her necessarily happy. If she is happy and he's happy, then she's great. But if he's happy and she's not happy, she's more unhappy. So for women, it's feeling, for women, her happiness comes when she feels I'm being supported in a relationship and I'm giving support. It's this reciprocity. It's receiving. So for a man, it's not so much about the reciprocity. It's about I'm giving and I'm successful and making her happy. And that sense of success releases his testosterone. And the sort of symbol of success is now I can take some time for me. And so I can relax now. It's like I work hard and I get the vacation. That's for man, the rebuilding of testosterone. For woman, the rebuilding of oxytocin is sharing. I give to you and you give to me. So I focus on the main things that create oxytocin for women. Women can give easily. It's learning to receive. So for example, there's three areas where women can produce more oxytocin. And they're modern expectations women have, because traditional lifestyle produced lots of oxytocin. When women were pregnant all the time, it produced huge amounts of oxytocin. When they were breastfeeding their children, it produced huge amounts of oxytocin. And when they were living and doing home activities that didn't have to do with emergencies and urgencies and time pressures, it produced lots of oxytocin. That's thousands of years of evolution. Now suddenly women are doing men's jobs, which are testosterone producing. They don't have enough time to get the oxytocin they need. So we need more powerful super oxytocin producers. So what would those be? Romance is a super oxytocin producer. So women often want romance. Good communication is another form of super oxytocin. See, in indigenous tribes, women don't care about talking to men. Women don't care if men listen to them. But modern women do, because when somebody hears you, when somebody listens to you, when somebody validates your feelings, they're seeing more deeply into you, and they're acknowledging you on the inside, and that produces lots of oxytocin. When you acknowledge somebody on the outside by what they did, not them, but what they did, look what you did for me, that's testosterone producing. And men need more testosterone, women need more oxytocin. So affection, compliments, seeing her beauty, helping her, supporting her. And to a certain extent, when you're describing your morning ritual to me, of all the processes, the beautiful gratitude processes and those things, those are all oxytocin producing activities. where you're loving yourself, you're receiving, you're reflecting on that you're not alone in this world and you are supported, that increases oxytocin, lowers stress levels, and when stress levels are lower, your brain works better. And that's the dynamic. But your brain works so much better if we also balance, that's the hormones here, is about
right.
lowering stress. But there's other things we do that causes stress, like sugar, high sugar levels in our diet, diabetes, insulin resistance. These are things that happen. Taking pain pills, taking antidepressants, taking, the big thing for you also with asthma is, did you ever take any medicine for asthma?
I took Ventolin for about a year, and then it reached a tolerance level where it really wasn't working.
And what age were you?
I was in my early 20s at the time.
Yeah, I think what is it?
I don't have any symptoms.
Let me mention for a moment. I'm always looking for causes. Something triggered your bipolar at 28 years old, which you have now cured. But what triggered it, I think, is part of it is the asthma medicine. All of these medications, over-the-counter medications even, they inhibit liver function. They inhibit the function of the liver to make glutathione, which protects our brain and allows our brain cells to regenerate. So when the brain is being attacked and it doesn't have protection, that's when we feel attacked. That's when we feel out of balance. Literally, we're being knocked out of balance by free radical damage of normal processing because our body doesn't have the defense mechanism, which is an ingredient called glutathione. And all of the over-the-counter medicines like aspirin and Tylenol and antihistamines, all of these simple, apparently no side effect drugs people can buy, they actually all are precursors to mental illness.
I'm really glad that you said that. We're coming to the end of the third segment here that I want to do with you. And I can't thank you enough because I never heard that particular theory ever thrown out as a potential reason why I had asthma for all those years. So I want to thank you very much. And we're going to continue with one last segment where you're going to tell us what you're up to now because I know you. You're on to the next thing. So thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.